This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
I'm Madeline Brand. More now from Climate Connections, our series with National Geographic.
Madeline, listen to this.
This is Palmyra. This is the place you told us about yesterday, the tiny tropical atoll way, way, way out in the Pacific Ocean. And, you know, Alex, just another workaday for you.
Well, go where the scientists go, and that's what we will do for the next couple of days. Follow some of them gathering data on this atoll that really is a good site to study climate change. And so we come to a workbench outside a small lab building. And there's a researcher now, Alan Friedlander, filing away at a large fish hook.
Right now, I'm taking the barbs off of the hooks that we're using to catch sharks and jacks.
Because Alan is going to release those big, sometimes dangerous fish after they're caught. So make the hook come out easy, and don't think about reaching into shark mouth to untangle things.
You snip off the point of the barb with some wire cutters.
That's right. So we try to get off the point as much as possible. Keep clear. And then...
Alan is a zoologist from the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. He doesn't look academic, though. He's more like Robert Shaw playing the grizzled Quint in Jaws. And that's good. We're going shark hunting as soon as the gear works. Inside the lab is a professor at California State University, Long Beach, Chris Lowe.
I'm programming an acoustic receiver for a tag that will detect temperature and depth of the water when it's in the shark.
And that is it. Get a tag inside a shark, then use it to detect ocean temperature. Four scientists, a couple of radio people, a video guy, two small tippy boats with outboards, and a bucket of gloppy something.
Jen, what is that?
This is squid. We're going to use it for bait.
Jen, that's Jennifer Cassell. She's a shark tagger from UC Santa Barbara. We motor out on the lagoon where 12-foot tiger sharks prowl in the night. But this is day, and we're after something much more modest. Chris Lowe scans the calm surface of the water.
So the plan is Alan's going to start fishing. Then in a couple minutes, he'll start screaming like a girl, run around, yell.
Actually, seriously, Alex, when he hooks up or any of us hook up, you'll want to run opposite to us and avoid the lines that are going to be running around the boat.
You mean the shark is going to be circling the boat?
The shark's going to be circling, and we're on the other end of the shark, so we're going to be circling around this very small boat.
Here comes one. Here comes one right for you, Jen.
A dark form moving fast near the surface. Jen casts the line where the shark will be.
Here's two. You got him. You got him.
Nice work, Yanni.
Yanni, the fourth member of the team. He's a doctoral student from the University of Hawaii, Yanis Papasamana.
Got it?
Yeah.
Yanni works the shark to the side of one boat. He slips a rope around the tail fin. Now, the creature is tethered at both ends. The shark is not so big, 4 feet maybe, but it is a shark, a female, and she is not happy. So here's what you do for data today. Roll that shark very, very carefully so she's belly up. This produces a kind of a shark trance, and that is good. We prefer that she not notice Yanni is now holding a scalpel.
So we're just making a small incision in the wall of the abdomen, so we're going to get into the body cavity so we can insert the transmitter.
He shifts position to crouch near the shark, and a gunwale dips low to the water. His hands move quickly.
How deep are you going with that?
That's about a centimeter.
The instrument is no bigger than a throwaway lighter, but it can track the shark's location, read pressure to signal depth, and gather temperature readings.
Okay, transmitter's in.
Sutures.
With a single stitch, Yanni seals the small wound. A quick test, the transmitter's working, and now...
Okay, ready?
Yep. Let's go. Send her on her merry way.
She settles in the water for an instant. shark lines blurring back to shark shape beneath the surface. Then she's gone.
We got a water temperature of 31.4 degrees C and a depth of 0 meters.
Sharks are so overfished in so many places, it's difficult to get data on how they are responding to changes in climate.
But here you have as pristine an area as you can find. So despite the fact that climate change may be occurring as a result of humans, we're still able to get an idea of how these animals are responding based on, you know, what are going to be probably more rapid changes in climate.
Chris Lowe, along with Alan Friedlander, Yanis Papasamatu, and Jennifer Cassell, at work this summer on the lagoon of Palmyra Atoll in the Central Pacific.
All right, Yanni, good job. Nice surgery. Where's your watch?
But by now, they are back indoors at computers with the data that they and others will be able to use for decades, measuring how the ocean and the sharks were before it gets any warmer.
Ooh, Alex, that sounds kind of spooky.
It is. But you know, these shark people, they were so fun to hang out with, and they really, really do love their work.
Plus, you got some video of the whole thing. It's pretty amazing.
You see them actually catching this shark, yeah.
And you?
There are a couple of shots of me, all at our website. Lots of other information and pictures, too.
Go to npr.org.
And here's an easy way to find it. Just search for Palmyra.
P-A-L-M-Y-R-A.
And tomorrow on the program, bird hunting in the dark, in the rain, for boobies.
They're sort of awkward, and they make these funny displays when they're displaying to their mates, and I think that's sort of how they got their name, the booby bird.